This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
If your listing is promoted, it will either appear as a promoted listing or an organic listing, depending on which one ranked highest for the buyer search query. Your promoted listing, it'll only be shown if it needs to boost to the rank higher than its organic counterpart.
I'm Brian.
I'm Griff. And this is 60 Minutes. No. This is eBay for Business podcast.
You were going to say the nightly news hour.
I'm Walter Cronkite. Anyway, this is your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start and run and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And it is.
And this is episode 161. Welcome back to the studio. We're in studio today again on campus.
Second time. It's exciting.
Well, I recorded Audrey here three times.
Audrey. She's special.
Yeah, Don't say it like that.
I'm okay with that.
Okay,
though.
Good. When I came into the building today, you were busy upstairs.
I was busy.
You've been working. You've been in the office a lot.
So I've been in the office. I try and come into the office a lot. Last week, I worked from home a bit, but try and come in as much as possible. And then did something this week that was exciting. I get to do a little bit of it next week too, which is meeting with sellers. And so had some executives up, seeing a couple sellers up in the Seattle area on Monday, which was exciting to see and do. And it was great to get out and hear from our sellers and their businesses and the challenges and opportunities they have. And then next week, I am going, along with Sheila Dockey on my team, to Reseller Remix in Las Vegas.
This is a seller event?
It's a seller-run event, so the sellers are putting it on. Expect to have 250-plus sellers in Vegas for the event, and so I'm really excited to... Well, let's see, by the time our listeners will hear this, I will be on the ground in Vegas at the event on Tuesday.
Oh, geez. Well, aren't you something getting back into the swing of things? I barely want to leave my house still. I'm not so sure I'm going to get on a plane. I've been reading the stories of the craziness that's happening on planes. Good luck to you. That's all I can say.
Well, I'll give you a report next Friday after I have to fly to Vegas and back.
Just don't end up on the no-fly list, okay?
No, I will not do that.
Well, Brian, I know it's a slow news week. Is there anything that you can report?
No new eBay news, but we should remind our sellers of a post our seller team made on the selling board and eBay community. The category update started going live to site last week. And there were a few technical issues that popped up, which have since remedied. You can read the progress and seller comments on the selling board and the community on the thread labeled "Updates are happening to some item specifics and category structures." It's pinned to the top of the board and we'll include that link in the episode 161 transcript.
Oh, great. I just checked it out and there's a lot of great information there. So these are things that we talked about on the fall seller update, but we're reminding sellers they're happening now.
We have a lot of our sellers or a lot of our listeners who might be in other communities like on Facebook and such. That particular thread within the community is a good one and there's a lot of good info. If they've got questions from their followers, check it out.
Anything else?
The selling team and their latest seller stories video 7. I was excited about this one.
Yeah.
Ken Gaetano of Simply Be.
Oh, yeah. He's a great seller.
Yeah. He's great. Great
sneakers.
Energy. Sneakers. Yeah. Yes. And goes around the country and gets sneakers and such. And, you know, really great story. If our sellers should all listen and get some tips from Ken.
And you can see that again on the seller news announcement board. There's a link right there to the video.
Yes. In fact, I think it might. Well, it's not the latest one. I think it's the second to the last.
Yeah.
We did another one today.
Ask me who's on the show today.
Who is on the show today, Griff?
I thought you'd never ask, Brian. Today, we're going to talk entirely. The entire segment is going to be about promoted listings, specifically now what's been branded promoted listing standard or the old promoted listings feature. We're going to have Julie Klein. She's the director of seller brand and advertising. She's going to come on and tell us some of the details, actually. There was a lot of stuff I thought I knew that I didn't know. And she's going to share all this with us.
Great.
And then you'll be back to help out with questions after our conversation with Julie Klein, yes?
Definitely. Always happy to help with questions.
So go back to what you were doing. I'll come back and get you when it's question time.
Sounds good.
We finished our series on starting a social media campaign last week, and the response so far has been excellent. So we thought we should explore another seller marketing opportunity this time, one that is on eBay and a lot of sellers know about promoted listings. And to help us better understand the how behind promoted listings, we have with us Julie Klein. She's the Director of Seller and Brand Marketing. Welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Thank you so much. It's super exciting to be here.
I suspect that most of our listeners already have a good grasp on the what of promoted listings. So today we'll focus mostly on the how. This week, we're only going to focus on eBay promoted listings standard. and not the recently launched Promoted Listings Advanced feature. We'll cover that next month. But to start off, Julie, give us an overview of the what of Promoted Listings Standard.
Promoted Listings Standard, and for those of you who are familiar with the original Promoted Listings, it was just recently branded as PL Standard, really to help differentiate it from the new Promoted Listings Advanced.
Which we'll talk about again in depth next month.
Yes. But Promoted Listings Standard is a seller-managed marketing tool for eBay listings that helps your items stand out among billions of listings on the eBay network and be seen by millions of active buyers when they're browsing and searching for what you are selling. It's with the goal of helping sellers to increase sales velocity and really, again, the likelihood of a sale.
And when you say seller managed, what does that mean?
Well, it means that a seller creates and manages their own Promoted Listings Standard campaigns, and they'll also determine how much to spend on each campaign by setting what we call an ad rate. And what sets Promoted Listings Standards apart from other more traditional seller or merchant managed promotions, like, for example, on Google, is that the seller only pays the rate they set if that promoted listing sells.
No fee surprises like your traditional per-click promotional types of advertising.
Exactly. A seller can budget to the dollar what they want to spend on a campaign, and they only pay the ad rate fee if a buyer purchases that item by clicking on the promoted listing itself and then purchasing it.
It's not a per-click rate. It's a, well, for lack of a better word, per-purchase fee.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
Now, who has access to the Promoted Listings Standard option?
So if you are above standard or ETRS with recent sales, you will automatically have access to Promoted Listings Standard.
Are there any restrictions on, say, what types of items can be promoted using Promoted Listings Standard?
Yeah, sellers can promote fixed price listings for most categories, well, with the exception of vehicles, real estate, everything else, and some travel categories.
And everything else is an actual category.
In addition, auction and auction buy it now listings are not eligible at this time.
Wait a minute. At this time, that sounds hopeful. Could they be included in the future?
Maybe.
And that's all we can say about that.
I do have one other piece of eBay guidance. When you create a Promoted Listing Standard campaign, only listings that are eligible for the service will appear in your selection view. This is also true for listings in active view. If they're not eligible, the promote this listing column will be blank.
Yeah, I've seen that in my own listings. Although currently, I have to say, I just went and checked before we started this segment, and all my 60 plus current listings all are eligible. So now I'm really tempted because every single one of them has, you can promote this listing and a suggested ad rate. It's right there.
Yes. We try to make it easy for the sellers.
Are there other benefits to using Promoted Listing Standard?
I actually compiled a list of the top four benefits. You mind if I share?
Please.
Well, the first benefit and the core of Promoted Listing Standard is you give your items a boost in visibility. Your items are more likely to sell when more people see them, and Promoted Listing Standard puts your items in front of more buyers. And it can really boost the item's visibility by up to 36%.
Up to 36%?
Yes, that figure is an average based on a comparison of item page views before and activating promoted listings in 2018. Your mileage may vary.
What are some of the other benefits?
As we just talked about, a seller is not charged their selected ad rate until a buyer clicks on their promoted listings and purchases that promoted item within 30 days.
I've seen questions about this and some confusion, that within 30 days.
Yes, correct. Say a buyer clicks on a Promoted Listing Standard listing anywhere on eBay and they walk away for a while. If they come back to that listing within 30 days and purchase it, then the seller is charged their selected ad rate.
So the Promoted Listing Standard status for any listing, is it sticky for 30 days for that buyer?
Got it. Yep. A lot of buyers will purchase immediately, but some might put the item in their watch list and come back to it later.
Or their shopping cart.
Yes. Or they may stumble on an item again within 30 days and then decide to make a purchase.
So how do I as a seller know if an item was sold through Promoted Listing Standard?
Seller can determine if an item sold through Promoted Listing Standard by downloading an orders report and looking for the column in the report labeled sold via Promoted Listings. I'll go into this in a little more detail later.
What's another benefit?
Well, the third benefit is a big one, in my opinion. eBay has the data for all promoted listing standard campaigns and ad rates. We can provide an average window for an ad rate as a suggestion. The data we use consists of current rates for some of the campaign, as well as buyer traffic, demand, sales, etc. We don't want sellers wasting time with unreasonably high or low ad rates that don't deliver the boost a seller wants. Using all the data we have, we provide a guided setup both for ad rates and for which items you should promote.
That's what I'm seeing right in the quick view or in my active view. Is which ones I should promote, apparently all of mine, because mine are so perfect, but also the ad rate as well. When I've used promoted listings in the past, my success has been dependent upon knowing where to start. So having that average rate has been really important.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I was not sure. I went back and checked my records before we started this segment and getting ready for it. And I didn't realize this. I hadn't been checking regularly. I actually have made some sales from the promoted listings. I only have about 60 to 100 listings up at a time. So that's pretty
good. To hear that. Love to hear it.
Me too. And finally, the fourth benefit.
Well, a seller using promoted listing standards needs to know how a campaign has performed, right? And it sounds like you should be checking in on yours maybe more often.
Yes, I'm guilty. I admit it. Sorry.
And is currently performing, right? So we provide all promoted listing standard sellers with access to detailed campaign metrics and sales reports so that they can monitor performance and, if necessary, make adjustments to their campaigns.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about something you said before, boost in visibility. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, well, a version of your listing, similar to what a buyer would see in search results for any listing, will appear either on the top or bottom of search results, or in any page. That's a part of what we call the buyer journey.
Journey to checkout, I
hope. Exactly. Yes, of course, right? That's the ultimate goal with promoted listing standard. Sales!
Yes! By the way, Julie, we asked our Facebook podcast group, gang, to provide a few questions for this segment. And we have one here from Craig Dawson that I think is apropos. May I?
Of course.
Craig and his partner, Rick, are very popular on YouTube with their sourcing or thrifting series, and they're very funny. I'll put their link in our transcript so you can visit them and subscribe if you haven't already. Anyway, Craig asks, can you clearly explain all of the places that promoted listings show up? Is that possible? How does eBay determine where these show up and what are they?
Thanks for that great question, Craig. We don't want to show promoted listing standard listings in places that don't make sense, right? So based on the recent search purchase and watch activity of a buyer, promoted listing standard ads may appear in several places throughout the eBay network, including desktop and mobile search results, listing pages, sold item pages, and product pages.
Yeah, and I have to say, I've seen them there. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, I can count on two hands recently the number of times this has got me to purchase something. So eBay is getting really smart about what to show me. They love emptying my wallet. They just love it. Craig had another question, by the way, but I'll hold that for a few minutes. If you don't mind, Craig. Let's talk a little bit about this. How does eBay determine where and how a promoted listing appears?
Promoted listing placements and ranking are influenced by a variety of factors, including ad rate, the quality of the listing, relevancy based on a buyer's previous activity, and even competing listings.
I suspect based on what I see as a buyer, that means that only a few promoted listing standards listings appear at any specific place on eBay at any given time, at least what I saw in my searches. But Craig did ask exactly where do they show up.
He did, but it would be impossible to predict placement and frequency for every promoted listing. But what we can say is that placement and frequency are related to the amount of the ad rate.
If you were to draw a conclusion that the higher the ad rate over the average, the more your item might show up in various placements. Might be a correct assumption, but of course, I couldn't possibly comment. So this is all good to know. I have always figured that anything more detailed would be next to impossible to say with any certainty, since each search, every time a buyer searches, each keyword a buyer uses, each different buyer, each one of these presents a unique set of factors, for the lack of a better word, algorithm, to calculate a placement.
Yeah, and those factors, they change dynamically every second.
What does a promoted listing standard listing look like?
Well, no matter where it appears, promoted listing standard listing looks identical to any other listing with one small difference. Somewhere usually at the top or the bottom of the listing will be the word sponsored in gray font.
A seller can actually see these if they do a few searches for any kinds of items on eBay, including their own.
Yes, more than likely.
Say I'm running a promoted listing standard campaign with a few items. Can one of those items in the campaign appear both as a promoted listing standard listing and a non-promoted listing standard listing at the same time? That's word salad, I'm afraid.
Call non-promoted listing standard listings organic listings.
Oh, organic. Are they grown without pesticides?
No, it's just a term that engineers use in cases like this.
Okay. So can two versions of the same listing, a promoted and crunch, crunch, organic, appear together in the same search results or anywhere else on eBay?
So no, an individual listing, it'll only appear once in the same set of search results. If your listing is promoted, it will either appear as a promoted listing or an organic listing, depending on which one ranked highest for the buyer's search query.
So it's a matter of that individual search where it ranks.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Your promoted listing, it'll only be shown if it needs to boost to the rank higher than its organic counterpart.
This makes so much sense. How should a seller select which listings to promote, even if already eBay's recommended them?
Yeah. So this gets into some of the standard best practices. For example, your promoted listing standard listing will be in prominent placement in many search results. You want to show off your best listings in these placements.
And by best, quote unquote,
we mean, like items that are currently in high demand, that offer great value. And of course, those with quality listing practices.
So I can see right now there's going to be a little research necessary on the seller.
Yeah. The first thing a seller should do is select a potential listing and then try to search for it on eBay to view the results.
Why?
Well, to see how many results show up.
Okay, that makes sense. And also leads us to Craig Dawson's second question, because he asked us, can eBay stop promoted listings from showing up in a search result with 10 or less results?
No, eBay can't stop those placements, but the seller can. If the seller does a search research on a particular item and finds that by using the most obvious keyword or keywords, that the results show a small number of items, say, for example, 10, then the seller might want to reconsider promoting that listing.
Because why waste the promotion space and time and effort when an organic version is already showing up at the top of the page or at least on page one?
Yeah, and in that case, the seller might want to consider promoting another listing, one that has a lot more competing examples.
So you can get ahead of the pack. It makes so much sense now. Well, Craig, thanks for those questions. Julie, what else should a seller look out for when selecting an item to promote?
Price. And this one is crucial. I see too many sellers promote otherwise excellent inventory, except that the price is sometimes much higher than non-promoted examples. Remember, preferred placement through promoted listing standard doesn't mean that buyers will overlook price, right? So if your promoted item price is higher than the others in the same search results, chances are great that your item will not result in a sale.
Yeah. And even though a promoted listing that doesn't sell doesn't really cost the seller the ad rate, it still hasn't done what it's supposed to do, which is generate the holy grail of the listing process in the first place, which is a sale. Now, what would be an example of another best practice?
Well, think about the value of placement. This is a listing that, if priced correctly, should get more click-throughs or views than not. The possibility of more eyeballs actually viewing your listing page means you can offer further enticements to buy, like multi-purchase and shipping discounts or volume pricing for fixed price multiple quantity listings.
Yes, I see this. And maybe you can get those buyers to view more of your inventory in your store.
Right. Or if you don't have a store, you can get them to click on sellers' other items. So all of these points are important, along with the standard listing best practices, good photos, clear and comprehensive descriptions, all relevant item specifics, and of course, customer-focused shipping and return policies.
I'm thinking I only have 60 listings at the moment. I plan to list a bunch more before the end of the year. But I know sellers who have hundreds, if not thousands, of listings. And just thinking about doing these individually really kind of, it overwhelms me. Is it possible for a seller to automate their campaigns and save themselves a little time?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy. When you're setting up a campaign in the promoted listings page of Seller Hub, you do so just as you would for any promoted listing standard campaign. You can create a rule for your inventory for that campaign using filters. This rule will determine which listings to add automatically to that campaign. And then after the campaign is launched, we will regularly assess your new, revised, or newly eligible listings to see if any should be added or removed from your campaign according to those rules that you set. And if there are, we will add or remove them automatically on a daily basis.
You said rules, so I can set more than one rule for an automated campaign?
Yep, and you can also automate your ad rates for that campaign. If you choose to automate your ad rates, we'll automatically adjust each listing at their daily suggested ad rate. Just keep in mind that listings that are already promoted are not considered eligible for new automated campaign.
Right. So you'd have to remove them from the campaign in order to add them to the automated campaign. I take all this information, all excellent, by the way. Thank you so much, Julie. So I take this information and I start one or more campaigns, taking care to select what I believe are the right listings to promote. And everything's going along smoothly. But of course, the most important part of this is to know what's happening. How do I track the success or, heaven forfend, the lack of for my campaign?
You're on the right track.
So to speak.
Yes. So a seller should always monitor any promotional tool they use to determine its efficacy. And if the results are less than desired, the seller can make adjustments to their campaign. Maybe by changing up the listings being promoted or adjusting the ad rates either up or down, for example.
So does eBay provide the necessary data for a seller to use to track the results of a promoted listing standard campaign, he said, dabbing his eyes?
Of course we do. Everything a seller needs to monitor about a promoted listing standard campaign can be found on the advertising dashboard. You can find your ad dashboard in Seller Hub under the marketing tab.
Okay, I have a confession to make. I had no idea this thing existed until I did some research, and I was so delighted to see it. And in fact, I hope you'll be delighted too. So I'm going to put that link in the transcript as well. It's easy to, as Julie just said, you can navigate to it in the dashboard under Seller Hub Marketing tab.
Please do share that. It is really critical to monitor ongoing, and sellers, again, who have active campaigns should review their advertising dashboard frequently to keep track of their sales and campaign performance. And the dashboard, it includes several important metrics. For example, impressions, which is the number of times your promoted listings have appeared on any eBay site. It has clicks, which are the number of visits to a listing page from a promoted listing. It has sold, which is the number of promoted items purchased within 30 days of a click on your promoted listings.
And that's what I saw today that I said, aha, I've sold some items, right?
And it has your ad fees, which is the total amount of fees incurred by items sold within 30 days of a click on your promoted listings. It has sales, which of course is what we want most, and the amount.
The Holy Grail. Yes,
and so we clearly show you the amount of sales generated by your promoted listings sold within 30 days of a click. We have CTR, which stands for click-through rate, which is clicks divided by impressions. And the CTR is the percentage of times buyers saw your ad and then clicked on it.
At first, I thought you said CPR, and
very
I was
different.
A little concerned. But yeah, this is a great metric. I love this one.
We also show sales conversion rates. So that is what is sold divided by clicks. The sales conversion rate is the percentage of promoted listings that are purchased after the buyer has clicked on them. And then finally, we have average sold ad rate, which is ad fees divided by sales. This number, it represents the average ad rate for items sold within 30 days of a click on your promoted listings.
Jeez, that's a lot of data to digest.
And that is not all. So sellers can also access what we call advanced insights on their advertising dashboard to gain a deeper understanding of their campaign's performance. Advanced insights include features like comparative data. Look at last month's performance to your current performance using this data, which is underneath each summary metric. When you change the time period, the comparative data changes accordingly. We also have, we talked about organic, right? So we have organic data, which compares your promoted listings and organic performance for items in promoted listing campaigns. And you can see organic data for impressions, clicks, and sales.
And that comparison with organic data and your promoted listing standard data, I mean, that's huge insight to how successful each is doing. I may actually decide to add or remove listings from my campaign based on that information.
But wait, there is even more.
Oh, no.
In addition, the advertising dashboard also provides detailed item-level data for a seller's daily sales tracking needs. Just click on the link for sales reports to see information like items sold, dates sold, quantity sold, the number of items sold, sold amount, and ad fees, all for your individual promoted listings.
Yeah, and I got a lot of questions from, and I was going to include one here, but then I see now it's answered, about where do I find my ad fees? And it's all right there in the sales report. Will wonders never cease?
Not quite yet. There's one more. You can download all of this data to a CSV file to further analyze your campaign performance in detail.
Julie, this is great information. And I really am being honest. There's stuff I didn't know until I started delving into this earlier today. And I'm glad that we had this segment. But before we go, I have another question from our seller group.
Can
I ask it? Okay. This is from Amy O, who posted, I run monthly campaigns, different percentage each month on all my items. Is there a benefit to doing shorter campaigns? I've heard others state they run their campaigns for a few days. Oh, dear. And then start a new one. They state it makes them show up higher due to it being a new campaign. So is there a benefit to doing lots of short-term campaigns versus doing monthly or longer campaigns? Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. So the answer is no. There is no benefit to running short campaigns. I think this is most likely another eBay urban myth. Yes, a seller may notice different results, but that would be because of how the market itself changes day to day, and not due to the length or newness of a campaign. There is simply no factor in the actual algorithm for campaign duration or newness. So Amy, instead of ending and restarting campaigns, I would advise monitoring and adjusting them. So that will save you a lot of time and effort, and you're more likely to see results.
Well, there you go, Amy. Thanks for that question. And thanks for all the people who posted and listed on the group. Well, Julia, I want to thank you for giving so much of your time and expertise on this popular and, I have to admit, sometimes controversial topic.
No problem at all. Thank you again for having me.
We've been conversing with eBay Director of Brand and Advertising, Julie Klein, about the workings of the Promoted Listing Standard feature here on eBay.
You got questions?
Well, we've got answers, and oy vey, do we have questions this week already?
How many is oy vey?
Five questions. Five? Yes, that's a lot normally, but I wanted to get them all.
Well, no time to waste then. Why don't we read the first one?
Our first question comes from eBay seller Linda, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com in an email. Hi, Griffin Company. I guess that's you. I can't thank you enough for the information you give everyone on the podcast. With your help, my store, Fergie and Hobos, has grown to over 1,000 items in the past year, and the ka-chings wow. from my phone are more frequent than ever.
That's great.
I love hearing this. Thank you so much. So I have another question for you. I frequently use all of the offer features. Whenever I have the opportunity, I send offers from my phone or laptop, but I will then get counter offers even a day or two later, and sometimes I forget my original offer. Is there a way to see a history of every offer sent on an item to every buyer? I already got a mug, and I use it frequently. Thank you. Linda, username Baynaja. That's B-A-Y-N-A-J-A. Well, thanks for that question, Linda. I hope you're enjoying your mug.
You know, maybe we should send her a second mug just because she might have someone over for coffee one day and then they both could have be drinking out of a eBay for Business podcast mug.
Brian, if you look into the window over in Studio B, there's two boxes filled with mugs. No problem to send an extra mug. Linda, we're going to send you an extra mug. I have your address, so expect it soon. Brian, is there a way for Linda to see her offer sent to buyer's history?
Well, good news, Linda, and Griff, since you just asked me that. There is a way to see your offer sent to buyer history for an item, and here are the steps. Start in Seller Hub on the active listings page. On the top of that page, look for the quick link section and click the button for Send Offers Sent. This will filter all active listings where you sent offers. You can then view the offer history for that item by clicking on the link for Review All Offers Sent in the left-hand column. This review page will show you the complete offer history for that item, including the sent history as well.
And I just tested it this last week. So what I did is I sent some offers, because I haven't been doing that. I sent some offers. No one took me up on it, by the way. I was so dejected. But I followed these steps, and I was able to find the offer history. So, Linda, I hope that's the answer that you were hoping for. I assume it is. I mean, it's how you do it. So thank you for sending that question.
And enjoy your second mug.
Yeah, we expect maybe you'll get a third and a fourth.
Our second question this week was posted to the Facebook podcast group page by eBay seller Malone, who wrote, I have five or six older printers that don't work. Are they worth trying to sell for parts or not? I'm tempted to just recycle them.
Yeah, this one caught my eye. I know from personal experience, by the way, that trying to get rid of these old printers, it's nearly impossible to sell them. I end up taking them to a thrift store to donate. And if they work, I do that. If they don't work, I take them to a recycling location that accepts e-waste. So that was my answer to I think it's Milan, by the way. Maybe. I'm not sure how we pronounce it.
Yeah, there's no E at the end, so it's probably Milan.
Milan, all right. That was my answer to Milan. I said, donate them and be done with them. But after I posted that, seller Amy posted the following. I've sold a ton of paper feed trays and the pull-out paper stop trays. I'll grab them off printers at Goodwill bins to take a photo of the model with the trays so I can remember them. They only take a minute to list and hardly take any space to store. People break them often. They don't sell for a lot, and it's a LIFI item. So if you don't mind that, I'd say to pull them off and list them prior to donating them. That started me thinking about all the electronic flotsam and jetsam cluttering up my life at the moment, stuff that I keep putting off to bring to the recycler.
Amy's response reminds me of what Paul Apollonia on the East Coast and one of our seller meeting leads would tell us.
What?
And that's what he does similar. I don't know that he does it with printers, but he will parts out everything. I once had to get rid of an old vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said to me, he goes, "You didn't throw it out, did you?" And I said, "I threw it out." And he goes, "Brian, the canisters go for $20 on eBay."
Oh.
And I went, "You're kidding." And he was like, "Brian, part it out."
They're popular, right?
Yes. Yeah. A great way. And it's, you know, circular. It helps the environment. And rather than just tossing it, you know, someone gets another use out of it.
Well, who knew? So anyway, Bolo, be on the lookout for printer trays and paper feeders, Griff.
Yes. And in fact, some electronic items are super hot right now as well. So take your phone with you when you're out sourcing and check eBay for any items that are similar to what you might find there.
Yeah, there are really some hot items. And I did a quick search for various types, and it shows the following examples. You know what's really hot? Small CRT, you know, tube TVs with built-in or VHS or DVD players. Those are really hot. People want them.
Interesting. Yeah. I would not have guessed.
I donated three of them. They were Sony and Panasonic ones too. Older stereo AM/FM receivers. People buy them and put systems together. So they're still, if they're working, they're still desirable. And then I have one of these and I was shocked. I bought it and I never used it. I bought it, 10, 15 years ago. I put it away. It's still in its box. Got all the original cords. It's a Sony combination VHS DVD player that can write from the VHS to the DVD.
Oh.
Well, these apparently are really sought by anyone looking to transfer their VHS videotapes to DVD.
I'm actually going to have to buy a VHS recorder because I have a bunch of tapes. And
you want to put them on DVD or something?
I can either send them to a service that does it, or I can just buy it and then put them on a DVD and then transfer them myself.
Well, I think it would depend how many tapes you have.
Yeah.
I mean, if you only have a few, I wouldn't buy it. But if you want to buy one, I have one for sale. Of course, I'd have to put it on eBay and tell you about it.
Yes.
So those are just a few of the examples.
Well, and there's probably a lot more.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I just haven't uncovered them yet, but I'm going to.
You know who might know?
Who?
Our sellers.
Of course. They know everything.
You do. And in fact, we're wondering what types of electronics do you look for when you're outsourcing for products? What unusual electronic items have you found that ended up selling for a premium?
Yeah, let us know. Call them into our voice line at 888-723-4630. You can always email them to us. You know the rules. podcast@ebay.com. And we'll include them here in an upcoming episode. Now, our next question refers to our three-part series on creating social media campaign with Audrey Tracy. And it's not really a question, but, you know, I like a little back rub every now and then. And seller Edson posted the following tip. Good afternoon, everyone. Just finishing listening to the latest podcast, and there was a lot of useful information. I wanted to add that Facebook Business Suite is a great way to schedule, manage, and reply to comments between your Facebook page and Instagram. Remember last week, Audrey and I talked a lot about the different third-party tools that were available that could help automate and ease a lot of the day-to-day tasks of managing a social media campaign. That's what Seller Edson says. He says it also allows you to resize photos for Instagram because, you know, it's a square format.
Right.
And by the way, he adds, it's free. Who doesn't like free?
I always sometimes wonder, is it going to always be free?
Well, yeah, that's always a good question. But for the time being, it's free.
It's free.
Well, Edson, thanks for that tip. Another question comes from eBay seller Andrew. Now, Brian, you may remember him from episode 159 when he asked a question about offering fountain pen ink cartridges as buyer's choice for color.
Oh, we got a response.
Well, he wrote back and he said, I'm going to try it. Thanks. He added this, another question. Thank you very much for your email. I have a huge problem pricing smaller amounts of my ink cartridges, which now makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's located and he ships from Poland, and registered mail costs me almost $6 over here. I can't price them at $7.99 like others do. In fact, there's a seller in China. He charges $2.15 for 12 ink cartridges, and the shipping is free. How is that even possible? You want to talk about this, or should we just stop now and pretend it doesn't happen?
I'll take a deep breath, and then we'll talk about it.
I think we should.
And then the challenge is I can't give Andrew my standard response that I would give a U.S. seller.
I tell him, you got two options, and one we'll talk about in a minute. But the other option is think about moving to China.
Yeah, right, exactly. I won't give him that option. So this is a controversial topic. And sellers located in China, as well as several other Pacific Rim countries, have the benefit of a service called ePacket.
Mm.
And ePacket is a shipping option offered by merchants in China and Hong Kong. It originated as an agreement between the United States Postal Service and Hong Kong Post, and is now expanded to include dozens of countries. It allows for faster and cheaper delivery costs for products coming from China and Hong Kong to a number of countries.
Yeah, and like you said, this is a perennial and controversial topic among sellers. Many believe this service between places like China Post and other countries now, and USPS, makes it harder for U.S. and European sellers and merchants to compete with sellers located in countries that have the option of shipping using the ePacket service.
Sellers located in the U.S. can, of course, contact their elected federal representatives to help to let them know their feelings about ePacket. But barring an expansion of the service to include the U.S. or Poland, and that seems highly unlikely without government intervention, a seller of merchandise that competes with the sellers located within countries that have the benefit of ePacket for shipping into the U.S. will have to rely on promoting other value propositions for their merchandise. For example, the fact that delivery times may be faster, or another example for certain types of electronics, that their products are OEM as opposed to generic. I think in Andrew's case, the fact that he is willing to sell in bulk could actually help, since ePacket does have weight and size restrictions.
Yeah, and I suspect we're preaching to the choir. It sounds like that's what Andrew has discovered, because part of our advice to him was to make the option that you can just sell one or two of these. And if that's all they buy, he's losing money if he's trying to compete.
Yeah, he can't run a viable business selling the low volume.
Yeah, that particular topic, which has been controversial and discussed by sellers for years, will continue, I think, as time goes on. Now it's time for our fifth and last question for this episode, and it's one about refunds for returns. And this was posted by eBay seller Christy on the Facebook podcast group. Anyway, she wrote, if we have a buyer purchase an item where we do not offer free shipping and it is a remorse purchase, and she provided an example of a recent sale, actually, $11.95 for the item plus $6.95 that the buyer paid for shipping, and the total was $18.95. Now, when a buyer opens a free return, we pay the shipping to get the item back. Do we have to refund the original shipping if it's an additional line item? Meaning, can we just refund the $11.95? And if so, can you confirm that if we only refund the $11.95, that if the buyer opens a case or complains to eBay for those funds, that we as a seller are protected and are not required to refund out of our pocket? Did that make sense?
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, it is a little. Apparently, a few years ago, I answered this question for Christy, and I'm not sure where. Perhaps it was on Facebook, and it was about the 2018 seller update, and she had a question. I answered it. And the response she recently received from another source differs from what I told her. So I went back to our trust team for clarification, and this is what they told me. Hi, Griff. The option to withhold the original shipping from a refund depends on the return reason. For remorse returns, and in this case, doesn't fit was the one that the buyer selected. That's a remorse return. All sellers have the option to withhold original shipping as long as the seller didn't offer free outbound shipping. So if it was a separate part of the invoice where the buyer had to pay the shipping, then the seller can withhold that. If the return is for a SND, or what we call significantly not as described reason, sellers don't have this option presented to them unless they qualify for offering partial refunds. And this was part of the question I was curious about. If they do qualify for partial refunds, it's perfectly fine to deduct the original shipping. However, sellers should only do so if they feel the buyer falsely claimed the item was not as described or the item arrived damaged or missing pieces. So it's left up to the seller discretion.
The only other thing I would say on that last piece around not refunding, if they send it back, like let's say it's a brand new item and they've opened the box and now the seller can't sell it as new, then that's another reason to withhold some of the funds.
And I just did that a month ago with an item that was new in package and there was nothing wrong with it. And the buyer thought it wasn't working like they thought it should work. It was. Yeah. I mean, I tried it, but now I can't sell it as new in package.
And, you know, it's interesting. We use acronyms a lot here.
Yeah.
And then our sellers also use acronyms.
Do they?
And so like SND, we always say SND internally.
Yeah.
And our sellers oftentimes in social networks or in the community boards, they'll say INAD.
INAD, right. You know, item not as described. Right. You know, and we make it the differentiation that's significantly not as described.
Right.
You know, so if it's a, you know, it's a sort of a, just a minor little thing, then that could be contentious. And then finally, Christy's question about will she be protected if the buyer complains in this situation? Absolutely, said our colleague in trust. That's part of seller protections. You will never be required to provide that partial refund back to the buyer. We're not going to start questioning it. We're not going to start requiring them to suddenly pay that part of the refund they didn't pay because the buyer complained. We won't do that. So it's good news. Well, that's our questions for today.
That was, I will say, a mouthful.
And fun.
But it was fun and it was and informative.
I thought so. I thought I learned a few things.
I also liked the, you know, kind of like the tip that got sent in too. It wasn't really a question, but it was information that our sellers can use.
I'm asking for sellers to send us more tips. Now, I posted in the Facebook group a call for questions about shipping do's and don'ts and share your experiences as buyers where you got items that weren't shipped properly and they've already started. So next month when we have this segment, we'll have some great content we can talk about sellers'
like
experience.
A seller tip of the week. Will you send the tipsters a mug too?
Absolutely. Look at them. Brian, look at them. There's so many of these mugs. We've got to get rid of them. Yes,
but
definitely.
But then at some point we'll be rid of them and then, well, we'll just have to order some more.
I found two boxes of umbrellas in there. eBay branded umbrellas.
But they're the old brand.
Who cares? We'll still give them away.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can give them to our sellers.
People like to collect this.
I know. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably more desirable. But if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
Please call us. I pay a monthly charge for this phone line and no one's using it and I feel dejected and no one loves me. Just call 888-723-4630 and you can listen. You can call at your leisure. You can call any time of the day, any day of the week, and leave your question and your shipping address. And in some cases, we may call you back and ask you if you want to talk live to Brian and I or Rebecca. And we did that last week. We have a question coming up next week where we have someone live on the...
Oh, great.
Well, I mean, recorded, but we know we talk to them live. No one's of the illusion that this show is actually broadcast live. It's a podcast.
But we could broadcast it. We have all the equipment. I'm looking
at
it all.
Actually, you're right. We have all the... We could do that on the internet. I'd have to become like Lee Mirabal and John Sell. And I'm not willing to take that work on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like the recorded version. No one sees all the mistakes I make.
Edit them all out. You would have no idea the stuff you're missing anyway.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Wait. Where are you going? Don't leave yet. It's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
I almost forgot. Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news. And I'll also say, and seller stories like Ken's.
Yes, please. And if you haven't already started testing promoted listings, you should start today. They could give your sales a real boost.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Director of eBay Seller Brand and Advertising, Julie Klein.
Join us next week for another fun-filled and jam-packed episode.
You notice I didn't put anything specific in there?
No. Makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, I don't have anything yet, but I will. Don't worry. I always manage to throw a podcast together somehow. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.